This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, and we talk about fishing and hunting and the great outdoors and other stuff. And you're running the show today. I have no guest scheduled at all, and we just need to depend on you for your phone calls and your questions and your comments. And what do you want to talk about? You want to talk about the weather? It's cold. That's what it is. Exactly right. Yes, indeed. It's what did I say? Wind chills in the single digits tonight, tomorrow.
Wow.
Well, not unusual. I mean, we've gotten jaded, a little bit used to the warm weather, but it is still winter. Technically, we've had cold weather and storms in March and so forth. So, you know, it's nothing particularly unusual. But, boy, I'll tell you, I didn't like the warm weather in the hunting season. Waterfowlers didn't like it one bit. Geese left early, I think. Part of that. So, hang on a second. I'm back. Okay, that didn't take long. So, you know, the perch run may have started early. And because of the warm weather that we had, we got a couple questions from our listeners. We'll get into that a little later. Primarily wanted to know if the warm weather affected the fish spawn. So we'll ask that question, and maybe somebody out there will be able to answer it. I have my own opinion, but, you know. I don't know if you noticed what's going on in Washington this week, but Secretary Ryan Zinke, the newly appointed secretary to the Interior Department of the Interior, first day in office, rode a horse into his office and, you know, into Washington, arrived. Oh, let's see, I've got to cut this back a little bit. Okay. Hang on. There we go. Turn the sound down on the phone. Rode a horse to his work and then immediately set to work reversing some of the Obama administration edicts, I guess you could say, that were issued the last day that the president was in office, including a lead ammunition ban, lead fishing tackle ban in the National Wildlife Refuges across the country. Totally without any science backing or anything like that. It was just simply just something they did. Yeah, we're going to throw a bomb when we go out of office here. So that's what they did. So yesterday on the Outdoor Wire, which assembles a number of press releases from around the country and all the sporting organizations and things like that, I mean, it was the Association of Fish and Wildlife. It was a Safari Club. It was a Congressional Sportsman's Foundation. It was National Rifle Association. Excuse me, there's a picture with Secretary Zinke, with all the leaders of the industry across the country, standing there watching him sign some orders. So just one of the typical press releases came out. Safari Club International was one of nearly 20 pro-hunting organizations invited to meet with Secretary Ryan Zinke today. The Maryland Hunting Coalition wasn't invited. Congressional Sportsman's Foundation, however, was, where I used to work. And I happened to run into the president of the Congressional Sportsman's Foundation the other day. He's getting into bow hunting. It happened to be a local bow hunting shop, along with the president of the Archery Trade Association in Washington. Well, he's from Northern Virginia, but ran into those guys this week and had a minor conversation. But anyway, the safari club's there, and on his first day at work as Secretary of the Interior. Safari Club, SCI is what they're known as. We applaud Secretary Zink for his for reversing Dan Ash's last-minute director's order that directed the phase-out of the traditional lead-based ammunition and fishing tackle use on all 81 million acres of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service lands and waters by 2022. Former Fish and Wildlife Service Director Ash issued Director's Order 219 on the last day of the Obama administration, imposing severe ammunition restrictions without input from states, the public, and ammunition and tackle manufacturers. What does this mean for Maryland? Well, we have a couple of National Wildlife Refuge here in Maryland, and the biggest one in particular being Blackwater. Blackwater allows deer hunting, primarily with shotguns, muzzle loaders, and archery tackle. Also has some pretty extensive waterways that are part of the National Wildlife Refuge there in Dorchester County, thousands and thousands of acres. And that would have meant that when you go shotgun hunting for sika deer, if you happen to get involved in the draw or go in one of the open days, your slug would have to be made out of some non-lead material. That would have meant, you know, probably one thing, and that would have been Remington Copper Solid. Good slug, no question about it. You know, it's wonderful, wonderful slug. However, you know, those of you who shoot Barnes and Lightfield and Winchester and other Remingtons and things like that, and that happens to be the best performing slug for your shotgun, would find that that would be not only inconvenient to have to go resighting your shotgun, but also very expensive to start shooting copper ammunition. Same way with what about muzzle loaders? What are you going to use to substitute a muzzle loader bullet, which is primarily lead? Not copper-coated lead, just, you know, I mean, you couldn't use copper-coated lead because it would contain lead. What about fishing? You could use tungsten weights, I guess. You could use steel. I mean, maybe you could take a few nuts and bolts and, you know, time on the end of the line, get you to be able to cast out there a little bit, but thank God. Thank God. Director Zinke reversed that. The former Secretary of the Interior guy, Ash, failed to take into account the harm that eliminating lead-based ammunition could cause to wildlife conservation habitat management programs supported by the sale of firearms and ammunition. You see, this is where the money comes from. You buy a firearm, you buy ammunition, there is an 11% federal excise tax already built into the price paid by the manufacturer. When you buy it, you basically reimburse the manufacturer for that tax that he has paid to the government on your behalf. And those taxes are collected through the Internal Revenue Service and then distributed back out to the states by the Department of the Interior, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Okay, and it's based on X dollars per every fishing license, X dollars per every hunting license sold in each state. So when the hunting numbers in Maryland, like they have done, start to drop off, that means if matching federal funds continue to drop off, and those federal funds are very restricted. It's called the Wildlife Restoration Act and the Sport Fish Restoration Act. That it comes from excise tax on fishing tackle and that type of thing, and some archery tackle in there as well, some archery gear. That means that the money, the millions that come back to the states, continues to decline, which means programs get cut, wildlife management gets cut, protection enforcement gets cut. So, you know, we don't want that to happen because of a downward turn in ammunition and firearm sales, archery tackle sales, and fishing tackle sales. So this was very helpful to sustain that, which leads to all those good programs that I just mentioned. So it ignored the question whether adequate alternate ammunition types would be available to substitute for lead-based ammunition, and I just gave you one example for shotgun slugs, you'd have to go to the copper solids. There's not a lot of copper-based high-powered rifle ammunition, which, you know, some wildlife refuges across the country, I mean, 81 million acres, there's got to be some deer hunting in some of those refuges across the country. The former director's measures would have seriously undermined hunting and the important role it plays in wildlife conservation. In issuing Director's Order Number 219, Mr. Ash, the former guy, sought to impose Obama administration prejudices and deficient wildlife service management of lands for the next 5 years and beyond. Today, yesterday, Friday, or Thursday, I guess, Friday, Secretary Zinke returned science and reason to federal decision-making about ammunition use. By reversing the former director's order 219, the secretary prevented the harm the former administration's hasty and thoughtless attack would have caused the hunting community. There you go. So, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Any comments on that? 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. We'd love to hear from you. Went to the Church of the Open Door last night. They had a nice dinner there. They featured Chad Scherer from CVA, who has been a guest on this show. Got to finally meet Chad in person. He's been in the outdoors world for a long, long time. His wife and his two sons were there. Great family, great Christian family. They hunt all over the world, five continents, and primarily they're focused on Montana. The kids are great waterfowl hunters. One of his sons trains labs. They enjoy their waterfowl, their goose and duck hunting, big game. The one boy, I think, was 9 years old when he took his grand slam on wild turkeys. And they showed some video and told some stories. Great, great family. Nice to meet Chad. I asked him where he'd be this morning, and he said he's going to be in Duncansville, Pennsylvania, back in my old home stomping grounds. Now, listen, my dad came home from the war in the 40s. Times were tough. And I didn't know my dad. I mean, you know, I didn't know him in his early life. I was adopted when he was 35, so he had lived half of his life almost before I came along. And he told a story one time of Duncansville, Pennsylvania. That's where Chad's going to be today. Big wild game dinner, big church event down there today. He told a story that he and a couple of buddies had gone up on Wapsonic Mountain, which was the local mountain there in Blair County, Pennsylvania. They called it Wapsy for short. And they poached a couple deer. My dad, okay, you know, shot them at night. Food was tough to come by. So they had, I think, four deer, he said, on the back of a pickup truck and covered up with a tarp. Going through downtown Duncansville, which is not much. Yeah, I mean, you know, you go through some of these towns out in Frederick County, you know, like Woodstock or, you know, somewhere like that. Wherever. You get the idea. Small town, you know, houses on both sides of the road. And something started to make noise in the back of the truck. So it was Dad's job to get out. I guess he was sitting by the door. Get out and see what was going on. One of the deer had come back to life that they had shot. Apparently it was only wounded and hadn't been properly dispatched. I'm suspecting they were taking them hastily away from wherever it was that they shot him. And so my dad quickly grabbed a rifle and shot the deer midnight in the middle of the town of Duncansville, Pennsylvania. And all the lights came on across town, and people, you know, came to their windows, and I guess they jumped back in the truck and took off. So that's about the only thing, other than being through there a few times, you know, when I lived there, not far. It's one of my only stories about that involves Duncansville, Pennsylvania. So you can look it up. It's just outside of Altoona and little burg out there. Anyway, that story came to mind when Chad had mentioned Duncansville. So it's all good. The poaching genetics did not translate through to his adopted son. I'm adamantly anti-poaching. Never have. Poached, and you will see that in our work with the Maryland Hunting Coalition, where We've shared various stories about the Poaching Restitution Act and the Wildlife Poaching Prevention Act of 2012 and other things I've been involved in and putting the teeth into the law against wildlife poaching here in Maryland, particularly deer poaching. So I think it's time to take our first break. What do you think? Mm-hmm. It is. All right. Let's see. Catonsville Linex, Jack Carver's business, has moved. He was located off Route 40. Now he is off of Security Boulevard right at Lord Baltimore Drive, right across from Coons Ford. I'll give you that address in a second. Beautiful new building. If you've been to the Glen Burnie Linex, this building will be similarly appointed. Two big spray bays, much more room, much more consumer-friendly, in an easy area to get to. And if you go to Security Boulevard, you turn left on Lord Baltimore, you turn left into the first driveway there, and his is the first building on the right. It's 2076 Lord Baltimore. Unfortunately, his previous address has been occupied by a competitor. That's why we had to quickly change the commercial, and that's why we quickly had to do that. I haven't pre-recorded those commercials, so you're going to be hearing me deliver the message about our buddies at Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie for spray-on bedliners. And be sure to ask for Linex by name. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one, and they carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing, your hunting and fishing gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose a Linex premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar, and you can match the paint on your truck with that one. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck, step bars and tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, Flender flares, they have the Flender flares too, and much more. Catonsville Linex and Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. You protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Catonsville Linex new location is 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. That number is 410-455-0800, 455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie, and that phone number is 789-0199. That's 410-789-0199 for Linex spray-on truck bed liners. Redneck blinds are the best deer blinds on the planet. Do you need a blind for the field edge, deep in the woods, or on the marsh? Choose Redneck Blinds. They're built to last. Redneck's fiberglass hunting blinds, new soft side hunting blind, and the hay bale blinds provide great visibility and shot angles for your bow, gun, and crossbow hunting. Stephen House is your Maryland Redneck Blinds dealer. Check the Redneck Blind website, then call Stephen at 301-331-2500. Gun owners, hunters, and shooters, Hafer's Gunsmithing in Hagerstown, Maryland is your one-stop gun shop for sales, service, and training. Large selection of new and used guns, hafersguns.com. Large selection of ammo and reloading, hafersguns.com. Repairs, parts, or custom gunsmithing, hafersguns.com. Class 3 firearms, hafersguns.com. Check out their extensive 1,600-square-foot showroom, easy access from Interstates 81 and 70. Hafer's Gunsmithing, on the web at hafersguns.com or on Facebook at Hafer's Gunsmithing, 240-347-4906, above precision, beyond accurate. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto. Gun owners, your Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms is celebrated at the Associated Gun Clubs of Baltimore. It's where I shoot. Since 1944, the AGC on Marriottsville Road has brought shooters together in a safe and friendly environment to enjoy the various shooting sports and to help them become better shooters. Why not see what the AGC has to offer and then sign up? Over 3,000 shooters call the AGC home, and you can too. New members, mention me and get a $10 discount on your range badge. For more information or to join an AGC club, call 410-296-3947. That's 410-296-3947 or visit associatedgunclubs.org.
Talk Radio 680 WCPM.
DNR, stay too long at the bar. When I counted them, I must have lost track. I'm sure you've heard lots of crazy words about why a licensee lacked. While he was hunting birds, the strangest thing occurred. A wolf wound up in his sack. Please, DNR, don't stop my car. With my bow and arrow, that deer I whacked. Please, DNR, I don't need to go far. I'm only trying to sneak them from my hunting shack. My eyes are awfully blurred. That whiskey was my third while I hunted for that big rack. Hunting sober is preferred. Your breathalyzer, I demure. Got another bottle in my back. DNR, don't stop my car. I got a bear head. I'm gonna put it on a plaque. Please, DNR, don't show me your star. For a big fine, I don't have the check. Nope.
That came in over the transom the other day, a fellow by the name of George Peter Block, Jr. He's from Park Ridge, Illinois, and or Boyne Falls, Michigan. It's both addresses on his signature line. And he said, I wrote a song entitled Please DNR Don't Stop My Car. I seek no compensation, only a writing credit. Feel free to use it any capacity you'd like. I hope you get a smile out of it. I hope you got a smile out of it. But it does reveal a element that's out there among us. Yes, indeed. And their plea. 410 WCBM 680. If you'd like to comment on anything you've heard so far, we'd love to hear your comment as well. So let's see. We got a couple of questions here. One, I'm having very difficult time reading my email this morning. Because it showed up on the screen so tiny, it's like 4-point type. It's unbelievable. All right. Anyway, our buddy Gary, former muzzleloader winner, said, what effect, if any, will the record warm February have on the timing of the spawning runs this spring? Does photo period dominate the timing of the run, or does water temperature. If it's photo period, the warm February won't affect the timing of the run at all. If it's water temperature, it will. If both affect it, it will be altered. And does anyone have any predictions as to what the change will be? We're going to toss that out to our listening audience because you folks go fishing a lot more than I do. So are you seeing a difference in the spawn? You know, it's normally mid-February or early March where the yellow perch start to move in. You get the males first and then the big females, followed by the yellow perch. You know, the herring run starts, and then here come the hickory shad and then the white shad. And then on it goes into April and May when the or March and April when the rockfish start coming in on the spawning runs and reaches. And of course that season opens in that early catch and release season opens on the flats. So the question is, and I know we got a couple biologists out there listening, is which dominates the spawning run given the warm weather we've had in February, photo period or water temperature? We're going to let that one out there for a little bit. Maybe our buddy Dale, the biologist from Easton, will call in and answer that question. And then there was another question by the same listener. There was a fish kill late last fall or early winter on the Gunpowder, the Bird River, sort of a tributary. Any update on how bad it was and what caused it? Is it likely to impact fishing in that area? And, you know, we've talked about this from time to time. We've got Lee out there who's called in, and we know that Tackle Box Tim occasionally checks in with us. And then the 2017-18 hunting rigs aren't out yet, but I need to plan my leave for the rest of the calendar year. Has DNR determined that the three early muzzleloader seasons will be this year, October 19 through 21? Probably that's going to be my answer. So anyway, there were the February 11th podcast was the link was broken. That's been fixed. So we thank you, Gary, for all your comments and questions. I'm sorry you couldn't listen, but you'll listen to the podcast. So there you go. 410, WCBM 680. Chris needs something to do other than sit there and look wise beyond his years and glare at me basically through the glass saying, where are your collars? So that's what I'm asking, folks. I know, it's cold, you're staying under the covers, and been a long week. Well, there was a waterfowl meeting this week. I don't know about it. There were a couple meetings. One was at Blackwater. There was a meeting at Blackwater to discuss, I don't know, perhaps some changes in the hunting regulations there. It was attended poorly, but okay for a meeting on a Monday morning from 10 to noon. There were some hunters there. There were some farmers there. And, you know, of course, farmers want all the deer killed everywhere, any time of the day. And the hunters are, you know, more conservation-minded, of course. That was bring about they met the new director. That'll bring about who's a hunter. She is a hunter. And that will bring about a few minor changes to the hunting regulations for Blackwater. And we'll bring those to you when they're developed. We previously mentioned National Wildlife Refuge. There was a meeting Tuesday. Where was that meeting? Oh, what did I do Tuesday? I can't even remember. Wednesday night was the waterfowl meeting to discuss the new waterfowl regulations. You know, it used to be that the waterfowl regulations were they waited for the nesting success on the Ungava Peninsula to reveal the rules and regulations for the Canada geese. And a couple of years ago, they changed the whole process, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife waterfowl process. So now the seasons are proposed in February. They have their meeting late February, early March, and then the regulations are put out in the summertime so people know, you know, what they are. We're in the comment period right now. If you want to go on the DNR website, you can comment on the waterfowl season. Two canvasbacks again, two black ducks, two bluebills. What else did they say? Oh, one pintail. That's kind of changes. Nothing else has really changed that much, according to my inside source who attended the meeting. 410-922-6680 is our phone number. The Turkey Federation, the Central Maryland banquet was last night, and word we got was it was sold out, which was great. I wrote a letter earlier this year for a young lady in her teens. She's in high school to hopefully receive a scholarship from the National Wild Turkey Federation. I guess there's levels of it. There's the local chapter, and then there's the national chapter, and the money different, you know, goes differently. And there's certainly certain criteria that these students have to do. I don't know what their total end of their submission is, but the parents have to work with them and fill out the application process. And one of those things was to get some letters of reference from people in the world, you know, the hunting world. And the parents asked me, Steve and Tina Greger, if you know Tina, Tina is a, she's on the Wildlife Advisory Committee, and Stephanie, well, both daughters are actually very, very enthusiastic hunters. And Stephanie, the older, was applying for the scholarship. So we found out early this morning. What time did Tina write this to me? 4 minutes before midnight. So apparently the banquet went on pretty long. Alan was asleep when the email came in. Stephanie got a $500 scholarship. She's excited. Thanks for the letter. It was greatly appreciated. Her friend Maggie, whose picture you put in your paper, was so excited to see her picture. And that's in the current issue of the Maryland Hunting Quarterly. You can see that online, MarylandHuntingQuarterly.com, or pick up a hard copy somewhere. Stephanie now has another friend that wants her to mentor her to learn to hunt. My girl has a passion for hunting. Glad to hear that. Glad to hear that. Stephanie's a nice young lady. We've watched her progress growing from, you know, just going hunting to being successful at taking all manner of game, deer, rabbits, turkeys. She killed a moose this year up in, I believe, New Hampshire. Yeah, so it's all good. It's all good, and it's nice that she, at her young age, is mentoring her friends to go hunting. I tell you, folks, the future is not looking that sharp when it comes to the future of hunting. The old guys are quitting. The young people are not coming up like they should. We should value people like Stephanie, who is willing to not only hunt and, you know, buy the licenses, but mentor her peers. And, you know, the fastest growing segment of this sport, this endeavor, this lifestyle, I don't really consider hunting a sport. I consider it a lifestyle. I consider it a almost like a rite, is females. The ladies are saving our heritage. They really are. And I see more and more of them in the magazine, more and more pictures of fathers and daughters, more and more pictures of women with their deer and that type of thing. Just go through the pages anytime. Go through the pages of our magazine and see what you've got out there. You know, we've got kids on youth hunts. We've got, there's Nina Greger with her handsome 8-point buck taken on Youth Day, photo by her proud sister Stephanie in the magazine. You know, Sarah's in there, this friend of Stephanie's that went hunting with her. So, you know, we just got to look out for this type, this segment of our hunting community and encourage it, not discourage it. You know, you got to put all those old school ideas aside, like, my family ain't never killed no does, and we ain't going to ever kill a doe. If it's a spike, we're going to kill it for meat. What about that spike being a 6-point next year? If it's brown, it's down. If it flies, it dies. So, you know, you keep shooting the hens and keep shooting the little bucks, and you'll never have big bucks. So, 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Chris, have we taken any calls today? Not a single one. Well, maybe I'll just quit doing this show. Move to the Eastern Shore and retire from the radio. Why not? My fiance is a rich woman. She can take care of me. And that will elicit a text, I'm sure. Maybe. Anyway. Let's take our second break. Let me tell you about Clyde Sports Shop and keep moving on. Clyde Sports Shop is having their annual Ready to Rock sale Friday, March 17th. That's coming up through Sunday, March 26th. On sale are all Rockfish trolling baits and lures starting on March 17th. Also, get that old line off of those spools on your spinning reel, your casting reels, your trolling reels. You can save on premium monofilament line at half price. It comes in at half price. It begins at 1 cent per yard. You bring your empty spools in and have Clyde's install your new line. It doesn't include Power Pro, which is braid, of course. It's mono line. It'd be Strand and Berkeley and others. The pen reel specials. The Warfare 30 Level Wine, one of the most popular size reels for Chesapeake Bay. Trolling on Chesapeake Bay is just $89.95. Trolling combos start at $89.95 and include a 309 pen and a Shakespeare rod. The most popular trolling combo is $139.95. It includes that previously mentioned Warfare 30 Level Wine, an Andy 20 to 50 pound rod, 6 foot rod, and line on that for $139.95. Shakespeare, Fluger, rods and reels are all on sale. All ugly stick rods are on sale. St. Croix rods. Check out the selection of that. You know, Clyde's has been around for 60 years. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway, exit 9. That phone number, 410-242-6108. And the 24-hour fishing hotline is 247-3474. 247-FISH for Clyde Sports Shop. The Ready to Rock sale starts March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, through Sunday, March 26th.
WCBM, Baltimore.
Bridget, start to our weekend. Wow, winds out of the northwest at 15 to 25 miles per hour, giving us brutal wind chills throughout the weekend. Everyone reaching for the heater, lighting the fireplace, finding the winter jackets. You'll need it all weekend long. 40 degrees our high today. Down in the teens again tonight, 17 degrees with north winds. And high tomorrow with sunshine up to 39. Quick warm-up for Monday, Tuesday with some showers coming in, 50s and 60s. I'm Scott Lauriemore with the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything. Their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Leaves are turning, there's a chill in the air. Campfires are burning, we're gathered round in chairs.
Three generations of hunting in our veins, talking about what might happen on opening day. Weatherman's calling for southwest winds, gonna have to change my plans. Guess I won't be hunting the power line, I'm moving to the boat seat stand. Sighted in my rifle and she sure is shooting straight, but I'll meet up with the jitter jaw. It's opening day.
Opening day. Well, all right, that's a long time ago, seems like. But did you ever hunt in a stand out of a boat seat? good morning, Mr. Dale in Easton. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Alan. I would have called earlier, but I was predisposed.
I got it.
So nature calls the calls.
Nature calls the calls. Yes.
Anyway, Alan, your question regarding water temperature and spawning.
Yeah.
Normally what happens is that most wildlife with that migrate is basically attuned to the photo period, the amount of daylight in a 24-hour period.
Amount of daylight in a 24-hour
but
period.
Again, okay. as the spawning migration for fish continues, water temperature becomes more and more important.
Okay.
And certainly as the water temperature increases, the eggs and sperm begin to develop more and more and more, and it reaches a certain temperature, and it's time for those critters to drop their eggs.
Right.
The problem with that, Alan, if it happens too fast, too early, you have those fish drop their eggs. They're not premature, but again, got to remember when those eggs hatch, and basically nothing more, Alan, than two eyes and a wiggle.
Right.
And if their food source, the various types of plankton, is not right in front of them, they'll starve.
Okay.
So if the temperature warms up but then drops again, you've got a problem.
Like we've had just this year.
Right. It's possible. Now I think some of the yellow perch are a little better adapted to spawning in colder temperatures. But again, if those eggs hatch and the water temps stay cold, it's not going to be a very good hatch. Now, a lot of species are adapted to what's called bimodal, even trimodal spawning. They won't all spawn at one time.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a staggered type spawn. So the fish, some of those late spawning fish, their eggs may be better adapted to survive.
Ah.
Because they didn't spawn early. In fact, we saw in striped bass that bimodal spawn and even a trimodal spawn, where you'll see three different sizes of a particular year class. I know when Harry sends Eric and Beth out, you know, they at times have to bring fish, some of those small fish back, because they're not real sure if they're last year's late spawn or this year's early spawn.
Mm-hmm.
So, because you can have a significant size overlap.
Sure, and we hear about these late fish coming into the bay to spawn up the rivers. You know, in
right,
May,
right.
The May rock or the silver rock or whatever you want to call them. Which
yeah, and there was a these called May shad too, because they used to spawn late.
Right, right.
So if you don't have with these early warm temperatures, if you don't have any more sudden decreases in temp, it should be okay. But again, with what's happened now with the cold temps the last 2-3 days and even in the next week, it could be a problem, Alan. It could
yeah.
be a problem.
Okay. Good to know.
But again, initially it's the daylight that gets things started. But as the water temps increase, that becomes more important.
Okay. That answers the question.
So that's it in a nutshell.
All right, buddy. Well, good. Have you had your first shad row yet?
No, but I had my first bone shad. I'm surprised because the local food fish store across the street there, it's I walked in there on Thursday, and I said, when are you going to get your bones? And I looked down, and they were already in
there. They already had the bone shed.
You betcha.
And you had to get some, sure.
You betcha.
All right. Well, we'll talk later, buddy. We'll figure out how to cook that.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, Dale.
Thanks, Alan. See
bye-bye.
Ya.
Yep. There he goes. We have Fran in Baltimore and Bill in Towson. Let's go to Fran. Fran, hello.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Oh, fine. I wasn't going to call till the second hour, but then, you know, people weren't calling exactly.
Got it.
Trying to get from under the blankets in this crazy changeable weather, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
but this is what I wanted to ask you. Let's put it this way. When I was a child, there was a magazine that all the men used to gather around, because mm-hmm. only one guy had a subscription. And I was curious, as I usually am, why they were looking at it, what was so fascinating. So I took a peep, and I just saw two men in a boat, and I thought, oh, please, what is that all about? And they, of course, caught me, and they yelled at me and told me, go play with my dolls or something, that I had nothing to do with this type of magazine.
Uh-huh.
Well, 2 years ago, right, I get a subscription asking me if I want this magazine. And I was so excited. And I said, yes, I sent for it. And when I got the magazine and the little tote bag they give you, I raised it up to the sky and I said to those guys, I got my own copy.
There you go. Good for you,
but
girl.
Sometimes these magazines tell you a little more than you want to know.
So what was the magazine?
I'm going to ask you this. If they said it, it's probably true. They were talking about bass fish, right?
Yeah.
And they were talking about along the shoreline.
Right.
People fish. And it was saying that they had this bait in there, rats.
Rats.
And they said that bass fish eat rats along the shoreline.
They do. Rats, mice, frogs, baby ducks, anything and everything.
Pardon anybody eating breakfast, but I got a little sick on my stomach.
Yeah.
And I had thought to myself, well, friend, you don't have a boat. You don't have access to a boat. So you could fish along the shoreline. I will tell you this. I will never fish unless I go out there in the water.
Uh-huh.
To the thought of it. And they had pictures of all this bait you can get.
Oh, yeah.
I says, I live in Baltimore. I don't need a picture of it. I am not ever fishing along the shoreline.
All right.
I'm going out in the water some kind of way.
Good deal, friend. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There she goes. And let's talk to Bill in Towson. Bill, good morning. How are you?
Hey, cheers, Alan. I'm really
Hey, proud. Bill. Bill Cooper.
I'm going to ask you about Brenda Davis.
Yes.
There's been a lot of talk about her firing by Governor Hogan.
That's correct.
Because apparently some watermen down in Dorchester County didn't like catch limits and catch sizes and things like that.
That's correct.
You've probably talked about it ad nauseum, but I kind of wanted your opinion on it.
Brenda's been with the department for a long, long time, and Brenda takes a tremendously conservative view of her job was the blue crab management. And apparently looking towards the sustainability of the species, was all in favor of a 5 1/4 inch crab after, I think, July 1st or something like that.
That's right.
And the Dorchester guys, whose primary market is the picking houses, and I got nothing against their market or anything like that or anything against any watermen, but they were distraught that they couldn't keep a 5-inch crab to sell to the picking houses during the summertime.
Right.
And that led to consternation among the waterman community in Dorchester County, a couple of fellows in particular that had the ear of the governor, and Brenda was removed.
I got the impression that she was merely carrying the water for the DNR policy that really came down from the director, Dave Blazier, and she was just pretty much doing what she's told. And frankly, shouldn't we at least be working with crabs 5 inches and better?
There's been a tremendous sea change in fisheries. You know, former director Tom O'Connell's a friend of mine, and Tom was unceremoniously asked to resign early on in this administration, and that brought some distress to me in particular.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's unfortunately the way things work in Annapolis. Whoever has the influence and the ear of the people who have the ear of the governor, you know, influence those decisions. And the answer to your question is, you know, I'd prefer, just like with rockfish and deer and everything other wildlife species, I'd prefer to err on the side of caution and be able to keep those size limits and the sustainability going for as long as possible. And if it's a difference between a quarter of an inch, I can't imagine how much more crab meat is in a quarter of an inch crab, you know, crab that's a quarter of an inch longer.
Right.
Wider, point to point.
Right. That was the genesis of the question. It just seems to me that it was pretty inconsequential. And the catch limits, shucks, you're going to deplete the population if you just keep pulling all the small crabs. And it just kind of irritated me. Is there a particular move towards Governor Hogan's office to maybe change his mind on this? Because, shucks, I think she was with DNR for better part of 35 years.
That's correct. Yep. And I don't know. You know, I don't know what the opinion of the Sport Fish Advisory Committee or the Tidal Fish Advisory Committee is. I know a few of those guys, but they're the ones that can speak to the governor and speak to the fisheries people on that.
Yeah. Well, anyway, bottom line, I thought it was pretty disappointing, and I thought it was worth talking about.
Yeah, it is, Bill, and there are others that have gone the same way, just not as well known and not as well publicized. So.
Okay.
Appreciate your call, buddy.
Cheers, Alan. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill. Bye-bye. We got to go right to our last break. Attention, gun owners, hunters, and shooters. Hafer's Gunsmithing in Hagerstown, Maryland is your one-stop gun shop for sales, service, and training. Large selection of new and used guns, hafersguns.com. Large selection of ammo and reloading, hafersguns.com. Repairs, parts, or custom gunsmithing, hafersguns.com. Class 3 firearms, hafersguns.com. Check out their extensive 1,600-square-foot showroom. Easy access from Interstates 81 and 70. Hafer's Gunsmithing, on the web at hafersguns.com or on Facebook at Hafer's Gunsmithing. 240-347-4906. Above precision, beyond accurate. And while you're at Hafer's Gunsmithing, see a redneck blind on display. Redneck blinds are the best deer blinds on the planet. Do you need a blind for the field edge, deep in the woods, or on the marsh? Choose redneck blinds. They're built to last. Redneck's fiberglass hunting blinds, new soft side hunting blinds, and hay bale blinds provide great visibility and shot angles for bow, gun, and crossbow hunting. Stephen House is your Maryland redneck blinds dealer. Check the redneck blinds website, then call Stephen at 301-331-2500.
Radio 680 WCPM.